This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
There's a lot going on, it always seems, in the Eternal City. The Holy Father continues with his catechesis. What was his main message today at the Wednesday audience?
You know, today, John, the Holy Father spoke about the freedom. And he said that freedom actually can only flow from what he said, the cross of Christ. He said that Christian freedom is a gift. It's a gift of God that's based on the truth of Jesus, because Jesus revealed what freedom actually is. And he called it also a way to happiness. And so the Holy Father explained that we can appreciate freedom actually only when we lose it, because for many, freedom is an acquired right. Now, he, of course, was looking at St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and he said that in the letter, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that freedom is a gift. And he points out that Christians, after they have known and accepted the truth of Christ, they receive a sense of liberation, because they move from the slavery of sin, they move from the slavery of legalism and so forth, to an authentic freedom. So he said, Pope Francis said, that even Christians of today, they may look to things that bind them in slavery, but instead he urges all to remain firm and to guard the freedom that came with baptism, and to remember not to entangle ourselves in things that put us into bondage. Instead, he looked at John's gospel: if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That is the freedom that he called a gift of love, John.
And the Holy Father also spoke about the pillar of freedom a little bit more extensively. He had a number of different points that he made about what he calls, it's not an abstract theory, but this is something that we can actually, put into our daily lives.
Right. Exactly. He said that St. Paul himself, of course, had experienced this firsthand, because when, Christ, who experienced this with the nailing of his flesh, with his passions and desires on the cross, with that, he received that true freedom. And so St. Paul, then, when he achieved intimacy with Jesus, then he too experienced that kind of freedom. So the Pope today said that a Christian is free. A Christian is free and shouldn't be a slave to anything. Instead, to continue to make sure to pursue the wisdom of Christ through the Holy Spirit, because that is where one will always find true freedom. It's the freedom that will transform a person's life and will direct a person toward the authentic good, John.
And what's the audience today? They were once again indoors, as opposed to outdoors in the piazza of St. Peter.
Yes, and good thing it was, because it's been pouring rain all day today, but actually that did not stop anyone. There was a really long line going into the Paul VI audience hall. Simply the difference today was that everybody had umbrellas and was wearing rain ponchos, but didn't dampen the enthusiasm.
And the Holy Father, was continuing a message that he started on Sunday at the Angelus about trusting in the Lord. He's always talked about that, but he made it a point in the Angelus that greatness is not found in self-sufficiency. Talk a little bit about that message that he gave to the crowds there at the Angelus on Sunday.
Sure, absolutely. So yes, speaking about where to find authentic greatness. So this was at the Sunday Angelus, which he prays right there in St. Peter's Square from the window of the Apostolic Palace. And he asked everyone to recognize their own frailty, because only when a person is able to do that can they discover true strength. And that true strength comes when we place our hope in the Lord. He said that is how a person can become great, not in what he called the illusory pretense of self-sufficiency, because he said these days it's very easy to be self-sufficient, right? There are many conveniences in the world. When you experience prosperity, when you experience well-being, you can often have the illusion of being self-sufficient and therefore not needing God. But he said, instead, the idea of knowing that one is small and that one is in need of salvation, this is indispensable for receiving the Lord. And he said, that's actually the first step in opening oneself up to Christ. So he recommended to all to look for your own littleness and to learn how to recognize it, John.
And that's a beautiful message. And that obviously the littleness message connected to the feast that we celebrated last Friday of Saint Teresa as the little flower.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It was very fitting in tying in with that. And of course, she is very beloved here in Rome. And the French National Church was able to celebrate a special mass in her honor on that day, John.
Now, Ashley, tomorrow is a big feast, not only in Rome, but around the world. October 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. How will Pope Francis celebrate this special Marian feast? And how is the feast celebrated in Rome and Italy in general?
Yes. Well, you know what, John? It's so neat because I am actually right now in the Castelli Romani and passed through the town of Marino just a little bit ago. And the town of Marino is having a fabulous celebration for Our Lady of the Rosary, also known as Our Lady of Victory. And of course, celebration of that amazing decisive victory of the fleet of the Holy Roman League in 1571 over the Ottoman Navy. And what happens is they have a grand procession where people actually wear costume and process through the streets of the little town of Marino in what would have been the typical costume of the 16th century. And the main event really of this procession is a figure by the name of Marco Antonio Colonna. Now, he was born in 1535 in Lazio, and so he was one of the most powerful feudal dynasties of the Papal States. He was part of that famous Battle of Lepanto, and when he returned to Rome, Pope Gregory XIII confirmed him as the Captain General of the Church. And so, during this procession, the person who plays the figure of Marco Antonio Colonna wears, again, a 16th century costume. He rides on a horse, and the whole crowd cheers and cheers as they remember that famous Battle of Lepanto and, of course, the miracle of the rosary that's attached to it. And then when it's all done, of course, the people of Marino continue the celebration going strong, John. What do? They turn the main fountain in the center of Marino into a fountain running with white wine. And so sure enough, people go and they put their glasses right up to the fountain, fill up their glasses and toast especially in thanksgiving of this miracle and to the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, John.
It sounds fabulous, Ashley. Make sure that you toast on behalf of all of our listeners of Relevant Radio here when you celebrate in Marino the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. It sounds like, once again, the Italians have such a great way of remembering these special feasts, remembering our saints, and obviously our Holy Blessed Mother.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, this idea of making wine flow from fountains really comes from something that the Colonna family themselves used to do. But the fountains here in Rome remind us of what? It's the gift, it's the abundance of blessings that the Lord has showered upon the city of Rome. It's the natural resources, but most of all, the water reminds us of our baptism, John. And it's the idea of the new life that comes from water through baptism. It's the death to sin through water. So anytime we see a fountain, we should take that opportunity to remember and be grateful for our baptisms.
Talk a little bit about his devotion to the Blessed Mother, especially as we get ready to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Yes, in fact, Pope Francis took the opportunity to invite all of Catholics to rediscover the beauty of the rosary this month. So he encouraged people to carry a rosary with them at all times in their pockets. And so he said that this is really the time to remember the beauty of the prayers, the each individual prayer that one prays during the rosary. And he said that this is one of the most beautiful prayers that we can offer to Our Lady, because it's a contemplation on the stages of the life of Jesus. And so, of course, I am thinking about the words of Pope St. John Paul II, that contemplation of Our Lady is, of course, contemplation of Christ, and that gazing into her eyes, of course, will always lead us to Jesus. And so Pope Francis also said that in the rosary, it's also an opportunity to let ourselves be carried by God, to, especially in those moments of suffering, as we join him in his own suffering, as we pray along. So it's a very special time. And yes, I imagine that it is for Pope Francis as well, considering his devotion to Our Lady, John.
And it's a reminder, Ashley, that we need to continue to pray the rosary here in the month of October, Respect Life Month, as Relevant Radio, EWTN, and the Napa Institute, we're all joining forces to try to pray a million rosaries here to end legal abortion in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm joining in from across the sea, and I love this initiative because there's nothing more powerful, so let's do it.
Absolutely. In fact, speaking of Respect Life Month, in recent years, and this is something that, you know, when you think of all the many statements that Pope Francis has made, he's been very clear, very strong when he's spoken about the issue of life, the issue of abortion. He's gone as far as to say that abortion is murder. Can you share just a few of the highlights of some of the things that he has said about the sanctity of human life?
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, abortion, when he said those words, abortion is murder, that was just recently on an in-flight press conference when he was returning from Hungary back in September. And of course, those words really made a very powerful impact, even in the secular media. Now, but that's not the first time that he has been very clear and emphatic about his stance against abortion. So, for example, last year in a speech to the UN, he said that, you know, it was unfortunate to see that some countries are promoting abortion as an essential service that is provided in a humanitarian response. So he said that that is something that is very troubling, and that any problems that exist for a mother and a child have to be solved, but not, of course, this is not the way to solve them. But also back in October of 2018, he said that abortion is like hiring a hitman. And he said, is it right to do away with a human life in order to solve a problem? Is it right to hire a hitman in order to solve a problem? And then back in June of 2018, he said the abortion of the disabled is like what the Nazis did. It's a form of eugenics, he said, but with white gloves. He said that when people ask that question, well, let's see, should we do away with a problem? He said, the murder of children can never be that answer, because in the last century, the entire world was scandalized over what the Nazis were doing to maintain the purity of the race. And he went on to say that today we do the same thing. And in 2016, he said that abortion is against the Hippocratic Oath. He called it a crime, in fact, and he said that you're killing one person to save the other. And in 2015, he said that care for creation is incompatible with the justification of abortion, since everything is interrelated and the concern for the protection of all life, it has to be considered, and it is absolutely incompatible with the justification of abortion. And in 2014, he said he prayed in South Korea at a cemetery for abortion victims. And in the first year of his pontificate in 2013, he said that every unborn child unjustly aborted has the face of Jesus. And of course, he is following on the heels of his predecessors. Pope Benedict XVI spoke so strongly as well, calling abortion an intrinsic evil. And so, yes. And so this is something that Pope Francis, as well as popes before him, have made very, very clear as to where the church stands, John.
Ashley, it's so powerful when you put all these statements back to back the way you just shared them with us. Really a continuation of the promotion of the culture of life of Pope John Paul II, John Paul the Great, mm-hmm. who was such a champion of life, and obviously Pope Benedict after him. So we see a constant defense of the innocent by these last three Holy Fathers.
Yes, exactly. And looking to Pope Paul VI, he in 1974, right after Roe v. Wade, he said that respect for human life is not imposed only on Christians, because the reason itself, our human reason, is sufficient enough to demand respect for life. He said that from the moment the egg is fertilized, a life is inaugurated, and it's not that of the father or mother. It is that of a new human being that develops on its own. So very, very clear words coming from our Holy Fathers, John.
And Ashley, this past weekend, there were women marches in over 600 cities across our country. The issue of abortion almost, 50 years after Roe v. Wade continues to be in play. And it's not just in this country, but other countries. I know it's a big issue in Mexico. And I just heard that San Marino has actually legalized abortion. What's going on there?
Yes, it's such a pity, John. So first of all, we're talking about San Marino, the tiny little country that is within Italy, right? So it is a constitutional republic right there in the middle of Italy. And abortion has been illegal there since 1865, but I am so sad to say that is no more. So voters, about 41% of the voting population turned out in that sovereign microstate, and they managed 77% managed to overturn what was formerly the law of that land, and abortion is now legal. So they have voted to legalize the killing of the baby in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, also making it making it legal to kill the child beyond those 12 weeks, if the woman's, quote, life is in danger, or if there are, quote, fetal abnormalities. So what I would ask of all of our listeners is to pray, especially through the intercession of Saint Agatha. Saint Agatha is the patron of that little country of San Marino with only 33,000 inhabitants. And it's called the world's oldest republic. So we know that Saint Agatha would certainly give all of her prayer power there in the heavens to be able to turn this around. So let's ask her especially for her help, for her intercession to turn this around, John.
Absolutely. And do you think that in San Marino, abortion becoming legal, do you think mm-hmm. this is the result of all the propaganda worldwide by forces like Planned Parenthood International that have been spewing that culture of death, as John Paul II called it, all over the world, not just in this country?
Yes, and they're really good at having a very, very loud voice. And so with that said, it's a reminder that we need to be even louder with the truth. And we know that as I spoke about earlier in when I was sharing about what the Pope said at the catechesis of the audience today, that we know that the truth will set us free from the book of Matthew. And so we have that guarantee. So let's make sure that we are speaking the truth unabashedly everywhere we go and helping people understand the authentic value of life, John.
Ashley, on a little bit lighter note, what's mm-hmm. going on with the wild boars running around the Roman streets? I understand it's been big news in Rome.
It has. Okay. So this is a little bit of a, well, dare I say, a wild situation that has hit us here, because what has happened is that there has been a problem with garbage not being picked up quickly enough, effectively enough. And so these wild chinguiale, as we call them here, these wild boars have been literally coming into Roman metropolitan areas and helping themselves at dumpsters. I even had a case where a family of boars came into a playground. And of course, if these creatures are disturbed, they can be dangerous. So this is a real issue. So we are right in the middle of our mayoral elections right now. So guess what big issue everybody's talking about here? Everyone who wants to become the next mayor of Rome is talking about how they're going to take care of the wild boar problems. So let's see what happens. But there is a viral video that's going around that shows a dozen, 12 boars just happily walking through a city street as motorists are just going right around them. So we shall see how this all gets solved. John, I have a feeling our mayor has a big job in front of him or her.
Where else are you going to get news on wild chinguiales, wild boars,
That's right, here on Ashley's report.
Ashley, as always, thanks so much for bringing Rome to home to our audience.
It's a pleasure, John. God bless you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.